Blog Talk Radio.
People come in here breaking our laws. If I were to break those laws, I would go to jail. It's possible all these other people are unlikable. How unlikable is John McCain? When I got involved in the Republican Party, it's because they took my vote off of the convention in 2008. Probably on the C-SPAN. I still have my C-SPAN bag.
When we hear the
walked it in
change. We all a part of God's great big family. And the truth, you know, love is all we need.
Come on now, let me hear you.
We are the world.
Mostly my view right now is the excellent candidate to fight the globalist takeover. is listening to your gifts. And while I agree with what she said about prisons dealing with Black Americans, I do agree with some of that. I think Black Lives Matter started when they recognized that a disproportionate amount of Black people were being killed by police unnecessarily. Now, I know movements take on different layers, and they begin to protest the things that perhaps they supposed to be at the beginning. I think the origin had very legitimate case. Now, Black motorists or Black defendants are always mistreated. But there was a trend happening, and nobody really understood why. But I think that's one issue. But secondly, other factors did bring some economic prosperity. A lot of people benefited. Does have some good ideas on dealing with both issues. But I don't think there's been enough candidate in American history that has done some of the things that he's done and still gone for, which raises a lot of questions. And I'm not sure there's so much still support. Well, I actually understand why, but I'm going to talk about it. Why there's still so much support for somebody who has really taken our system and twisted it down. I don't know if that's worth the other things that he's done, but I think your response, I'll be there.
Well, he has disrupted it. I mean, he was the great disruptor, right? And I would caution, though, again, looking over the years of coverage of Donald Trump and the allegations that are furthered through the press by the Democrat Party and his haters in the Republican Party, and turning those allegations that then make the media cycle, one media cycle after another, stop and repeat it, and then advance with different pundits weighing in on that, and then they create a new media. I would caution people against taking those discussions, allegations, accusations, and even investigations, and drawing the conclusion that that means Donald Trump did something. Because so many times he's been accused, for instance, Russia collusion that went on for years, and turns out in the end, looks, he didn't actually do anything. So there's a difference between accusation and guilt.
We're going to run out of time, but I want to get your opinion on.
Yeah, he made serious remarks about how the investigation into Trump has been flawed from the beginning. Called it seriously flawed. He accused the investigators, he accused the FBI of profound, actually. They didn't just make an accusation. We found a confirmation box, and he found that the Steele report that was used in the very beginning, the Steele report that was used to notify the court and get approval to spy on the Trump aide, the Trump campaign aide, had zero evidence to show that Trump was actually, were actually colluding with Russia at the time. So it was built on a web of lies. And I think John Durham did a good job about it.
Let's go back to our phone line to talk to Robert. Greenville, North Carolina, on the independent line. Robert, good morning. Robert, are you there?
Yes.
All right, go ahead, Robert.
Okay, I'd like to ask this young lady about Donald Trump dollars for his tour with the University of before he could run. He also had to, do a lot of other things to do with Donald Trump before he was elected. We didn't find being ripped of cheat, criminal, a liar, everything that's wrong in this country, Donald Trump represents it. It's shameful that there's so many American citizens. He'd say, well, he's going to play golf because he didn't have time, He spent $155 million playing golf off this president. He's lied. His kids ripped it. It's too much.
guess you want to vote for Trump. I like him saying it.
Well, we would like to thank Washington Times online opinion editor Cheryl Chumley for being with us this morning and talking us through the political news of the day and campaign 2024. Cheryl, thank you so much for being here.
Downloading the free CSAN Now app or wherever you get your podcast and on our website, csan.org/podcast.
Video on demand anytime online at C-SPAN support and try our points of interest feature. Timeline tool that uses markers to quickly guide you to newsworthy and take highlights of our key coverage. Use points of interest anytime online at cspan.org.
And shop. Washington Journal.
We're back, and now we're joined by Washington Post opinion writer Paul Wallman. He's here, just like our previous guest, to talk about campaign 2024, the House Republican majority, and the political news today. Paul, thank you. Like I asked Cheryl earlier, a bunch of the GOP presidential candidates were in the area this previous weekend at the Faith and Family Coalition.
Primaries and then the general election. That was a lot easier. Of course, in today's world, that's not really possible. And one of the things that the Republican Party is that this is really, in many ways, the most important. And they have a set of demands that, in many ways, feel the kind of independent voter. So there's this decision among Republicans for who can be the most the limited as is obviously not happening at a moment when every poll shows that the majority of the opposed the overturn of Wade, and this is something that really energizes two elections more responsible than else for Democrats for stalling what could have been a very midterm. And so you have these kinds of events where all the Republicans have to come out and prove to this and see that they're the ones who are going to be the most reliable going to show up in it from the fall of 2024. And there's also the other interesting even how that decision, you know, used to think that it was important for a Republican to be, let's say someone like Mitt, but show them that he is personally pious, has been part of this world for his career, that he knows them, the language, understands, really feels their issues, show that that wasn't really necessary. You know, he would make, I literally made that note. But it turned out that the evangelicals who make up the heart of the Republican Party, that really wasn't that important to them. They wanted somebody who kind of shared their enemy and was a warrior for them against people that they hate, horses, and they said. And in many ways, it worked out quite well for them. They got me. What it also turned out was that because he didn't really care all that much personally about issues, he would kind of sort of outsource everything that had to do with those things to, you know, people like Senator Leo, operative who has really made his way to the course. Well, you know, it turned out that Trump didn't really care in a real kind of, in an ironic way, it was Trump's almost indifference to those kinds of issues that turned out to be to work really well. So now they come back 2024, 8 years ago, and you again have candidates like Pence who want to tell their personal faith story and deal with those people in the same kind of way that candidates used to, but it may not be that they really care all that. They may be looking at the model of Trump and saying, that's the one again. So you can tell me about your faith story.
Great. Presidential nominees. Former President Trump at 52%. The only person who's anywhere close, Florida Governor
primary, you know, over the course of the primary, there were like five or six people who were in the lead anyway. But ordinarily, if somebody is running, that's a pretty good day for you. But it was a bad day for all of those Republican candidates because they didn't really know what to say. They found themselves defending him because they're so afraid of his supporters. I think those supporters become their supporters down the road. So, you know, their opponent is getting indicted. There's a lot of evidence that they may be guilty, and they couldn't criticize him, or if they did, except for Chris Christie, who has put themselves around it, saying something that defends him, making their own pledges to use the Justice Department to go after their enemies, says he wants to do him. So it put them in such an awkward position. None of them came out looking particularly good, and I think that was real good. Just what was extraordinary now. You know, we thought over the course of that campaign, again and again, that finally goes to, but it never happened. And it certainly looks at this point like it's playing out in a way. You have a group of candidates who, you know, in some ways it's a good deal, but in other ways there are people who are perfectly legitimate candidates in there who, you know, represent governors and senators. And they just can't seem to make headway because the loyalty to him is still so strong.
In a recent column, you talked about the electability and said that pretty much anybody else in the GOP race can claim.
Sometimes it matters and sometimes it doesn't. We think back to 2020 in the Democratic. Nobody in the Democratic. There were other candidates who were kind of more interesting, newer, fresh. Maybe had people who really were passionate. But the party kind of collectively came together. Voting so that he said, you know what? I think this is the guy who we think is going to be the brokerage. And turns out they were right. Now, there's copious evidence that Donald Trump is back to the worst candidate. In his approval ratings are low. You can argue that he, you know, despite winning the presidency in 2016 with a vast majority of the vote, then had a disastrous election for Republicans in 2018, a disastrous election in 2020, and another two, all of the elections he put in the gained attraction. You know, you have kind of collective other Republicans who, to varying degrees, might have their own challenges, but almost all of them look like your kind of ordinary Republican politician who could capitalize on this. And it just doesn't seem that there's a big taste in the Republican Party, at least the majority of those folks, to say, we're going to try to find someone palatable for the rest of the election, not the guy who makes our hearts go up.
Let me say, right here to remind our viewers that they are in this conversation, we're going to open up our regular line. Keep in mind, you can always text us at 202-748-8003, and we're always on Twitter at WJ, and on Facebook at facebook.com/C-SPAN. Now, Paul, you've written before that in one of your columns that Republican majority in the House is wasting their majority. Why would you say that?
Well, you know, when you get control of one half of Congress and the other party still has to change the law, so you basically have to use that majority to collect. The electorate will say, yes, those are the guys. And the problem the Republican Party House has now is that they're not being driven by any kind of make a case for the GOP. Their effort to administration, which is an important part of Congress's job, they're not all that. I mean, if you look at the oversight committee, you know, who's on that committee? It's not their best interest. Marjorie Taylor Greene, Lauren Boebert, Paul Gosar. They're obsessed with Hunter Biden and his, you know, rather sad past. They, if you look at all the impeachments, and I realize there are four different impeachments, which is the Alejandro Mayorkas. There's an impeachment resolution against Vice President Harris. There's one against FBI Director Christopher Wray. There's one against Attorney General more, they seem like they're more providing fodder for the kind of daily outrage thing than they are in actually, you know, putting together a hearing where somebody gets up and shouts at an official. There's a, you know, hearing of the subcommittee on dairy and livestock that nobody pays any attention to. It's, you know, perfectly fit. But the stuff that they really seem to be focusing their attention on, all just kind of in that outrage, and it doesn't really do much to me.
House Speaker Kevin McCarthy pushed Representative Lauren Boebert's impeachment push for on President Biden to a committee. Was that a good move by Kevin McCarthy? Wouldn't an impeachment vote help Republican agenda in that?
Well, I think that was sort of the time. By that, to essentially shove it under the rug. He says that he, you know, he's in favor of some of these impeachments. But, you know, that's not going to be anything particularly worthwhile for them. But he felt like he had no choice. He couldn't just crush it entirely. And it shows the awkward position. She ruled with an iron hand and the entire given. Kevin McCarthy is not able to do a very fractious cut. And the borrowing they have a lot of people, a lot of representatives in that caucus, and are not interested at all in following some kind of a strategy to keep the party together. They have their own agenda. They are perfectly willing to force it shut down. Very angry that so like each time that side of the caucus has gotten more and more and less interested. Okay, they are there, not because they want to pass. They're there to cause trouble. And McCarthy, one thing he has done a good job, like him and feel like they're heard by him, but that doesn't mean they have a very, very radical call within their pocket.
Some of our viewers called, and let's start with Dorothy, who's calling from Dayton, Ohio, on the Republican line. Dorothy, good morning.
Good morning. I would like to ask the speaker, who seems to be, by all of his proclamations, the expert on Trump voters, I would love to ask you, did you do any research into the group called the Walk Away Group, which has thousands of members that are Democrats that walked away? Have you done any research on Black conservatives and why they are Trump voters? You make it sound like the only thing we voted on was abortion, which is so not true. So I am very curious where you're getting, like, all this expertise from. But before you answer, I would also appreciate if you would just answer my question and not go into a filibuster explanation, yada, yada, yada. And I have one more thing I'd like to say to C-SPAN, and actually the rest of the media in general. All the time we're hearing about, you know, the 2024 election and whose personalities, what happens if West gets in the, and then, you know, the Freedom Caucus is a devil, and, look at the stances against Trump. I hope to God we're not going to have to endure 2 years of that until the 2024 election. We would like to hear about what their policies are, what they're spending money on. We would like to hear about the issues, not talking head, egghead, coming on, explaining to us why we vote for Trump.
What response?
Well, as far as there are always going to be some number of people who cross party, some of the Democrats who vote for the Republican nominee, and some people who call themselves Republicans. They are a very small group. They still matter a lot. You can have a tiny number of individuals. And in an election that's as close to all of our elections, that's still going to matter. Races are still going to charge. And the caller is not wrong, unfortunately. It's about their number of issues. But right now,
And the candidates themselves aren't, you know, you can maybe go to the website and you might be able to find a position paper or two if you're not on stage. But it's not as though they're going out on the trail giving long disquisitions on there on healthcare. That's not what they're doing. Their appeal is mostly about personality. Saying, you know, I'm the one who can bring the party together. I'm the one who you should be excited about because I'm part of a new generation. I'm the one who hates the liberals more than those are all kind of personalities. They're trying to give you a killer service. And, you know, if this caller wants to go through their positions on it, she believes that is terrific abortion rights, and the Republican nominee has some kind of abortion ban. So if I just want to expand health care access, and the Republican nominee is going to want to move more, they're going to be extremely important. Big difference in time. And I would hope that there's going to be more coverage of those that are at 50 years to where their votes are going to make a difference. Not all that optimistic, but I'll be.
And I will just say that you're looking for more substance and news websites out there that will give you links to these candidates' positions if you're interested in finding those positions. It's much harder on television when you only have a limited amount of get into in the Carolina on the Democratic line.
Hey, good morning.
Yeah, how you doing, Jesse? I got a comment first. You know, I've watched you for a little bit. You've been on a week personally. I've got to say you're definitely doing things at this point. See, what I like about this, I don't necessarily have to agree with certain things, but I love that you thought provoking ideas or things that you brought to the table. I want to catch my wagon off what you were saying about voters doing things based on what they feel. And I have to call that into question. I like to be more pragmatic and less temperamental, or take a rational approach and be less emotional. And I think if you have more of a quantitative or more qualitative analysis, you're more likely to come up with, like I said, the best decision to move forward. Now let's talk about the Republican Democratic parties. And
then what that was all about. Looking for a change. I mean, I'm looking for a change. Now, day-to-day running, body, no, it's happening in the day that will happen in Russia, happening around this country. Got to come to a end. Now, we're looking to find out what new we do. Every telephone call, RussianDayManGroupLike.com, my website, all over the United States, this change has got to take place up and now.
Hi, Calvin.
This is a Block Talk Radio. Yes, ma'am. And cry me. And we'll do that. And knowing that we're doing our radio show, people calling me, I want you to know all that is well. Don't forget, Eric Van will break up. I'm calling. This is what happened. Some poor communication about this country. On Friday, Monday, Tuesday, Friday, about coming to the next level. So you got to get ready and make that next level. And then the next level will open the door for us. And that's what got to happen. But, you know what I'm saying?
How much is it? No way to know. You're just having to basically make a prediction. And that's really hard to do. And that prediction is going to be affected by how you feel about it. And so every election, millions and millions of people make their mostly based on their emotions, about how the candidate makes them feel. And sometimes that works for Democrats and sometimes it works for Republicans. I mean, when Barack Obama was elected, for a lot of liberals, he was the kind of candidate they were always waiting for. He made them feel a certain way. He was, I think for a lot of people, especially younger Democrats, he was either a person who was like them or a person who was the kind of person that they wanted to be. You know, he was urbane, sophisticated. He really is going to work by you know, it's hard to know if they really believe that. It was awfully hard to believe it. Didn't actually do it, but he made them feel a certain way, tapped into some of the anger in them. Very, very powerful. So emotion is always the matter. As much as we'd all like to be as rational as possible, even the most rational among us are still going to be so we all know that. And so those are the kind of things where, generally speaking, when you think you'll do that,
you know, just a sad young man. I guess he's not so young anymore. It's, you know, his story is a bit of his. And I think that even though he's clearly done something wrong, he's going to, you know, pay a legal price for it. But it doesn't look like
morning. This is a very important issue for any of us who are American, because we're talking about the 24 of us. And what saddens me is that we put everybody in one category, but the one issue for me as a woman, and I'm 79 years old, so I'm not a young one, wouldn't say it would apply to me, but I don't like second class in the own health. Maybe, maybe in pregnancy, or else maybe. It's none of my business. It's between that woman and God. It's when the white evangelical church becomes the leader of the world. I mean, look at the Dutton School, the scandal that's now coming up with that. It's called fascism. When you think fascism, keep our faith. If you think that the hard warrior thing, when the court decided to take the case, when the court said, when the court made the decision, I guess this court comes back to warn the Republican Party, because the majority of people who have to work
there for your power right now. Touch every boy, every man, every woman. God, I know that you have got me to plant that seed. Go to my website. I see Abraham plant that seed. Gene, I'm praying for you. Give me a call. I say. I'm praying for my sister Ann. Give me a call also. I'm praying for you.
Hey, one of the things that they try to create this sort of artifact, there are things called derivative holes where you get them out of security. Give them a time to talk about it. People are all, yes, if there was a demand for something, then that's a fine idea. But I think also the people who are involved, you know, when you have candidates, you know, they look at this and say, so they're going to try to, you know, they say, okay, what's the matter? Well, what's going to matter is who gets in the best singer, and they then get replayed on the news and seen on social media. So that's how they plan out what they're going to do, not can we have the most.
See if we can get in one more call. Bob, he's calling from Pitfall, New York, on the Republic. Bob, that sounds like a good thing. City. Deal. Here. Is also Jerusalem. We know so much about the people who Jesus. What this is talking about. 21. Our God.
Okay.